Hello and welcome to the ILC Home webinar series. My name's Alan Souter. I'm the chair of ILC. I'm delighted to welcome you along. First of all, I guess a huge big thanks to our home corporate partners, that's Carpenters, CoreLogic, Innovation Group and ICAP. Really pleased to have your support, but even more pleased to have you listening along with us for something that I hope will be helpful to everybody who works in home claims. The idea of the podcast series is to chat to a few people, understand a few more of the areas that home claims get involved in, hopefully some entertaining stories as well as very informative ones. Very important that you give us any feedback, so please just give me a note at alan@iloveclaims.com. Be delighted to hear from you. But before anything else, let's listen to this week's podcast. So this podcast is one of several that we're going to hold in the lead up to the ILC Specialist Building Conference. Nick Sproul and I will be chatting to some of the participants, some of the sponsors, some of the attendees and exhibitors over the coming weeks. So the conference is at the Ricoh Arena on the 1st of November, and a big thanks to all the sponsors for this. These are the people that make these things so affordable for such a wide-ranged audience that we get. So that's GeoBear, Accommodation Connect, ClearAbee, Sedgwick, Belfer, Safeline and Weston. So thanks to everybody. We really appreciate your investment in us. And today we're going to take a look at what, you know, sort of preview it to some extent, the areas that we're going to look at in the conference. We're going to look at the kind of construction backdrop. That was the initial thought. The demand of other industries and the trades and the availability. Of course, other circumstances have made that slightly different, but the demands may not be that different. We're going to take a look at information and data. We've got Tom, who looks a lot at analytics from the data side, but we've also got Laura, who, having come over from another side 18 months ago or so from the motor side, is trying to take a look at the information that can help us make the service better, understand what's happening with our suppliers and our claimants. And we've got Sandy, with all his experience, to look at the contractor and the network. So today's about what expectations we've got, what we think might happen. Some of the things we seek to out it. So we've, as I said before, we've got Laura Lazarus, who's a supply chain lead property of Aviva, Tom Burrows, Director of Technology at the Claims Consortium Group, and Sandy Fraser of Fraser's LLP with the experience of the loss adjusting contractor and network side. So thanks all for joining us. We're looking forward to the conference. It's on the 1st of the 10th. It seems to have kind of all of a sudden crawled up in us. So up with you, Laura. What kind of things are you looking to get out of this conference? What are you going to be listening for and asking questions about?
So there's probably a few things really. So firstly, it's been an interesting 6 months or so, hasn't it? So I think it'd just be a really good opportunity to reconnect with people and just hear what's on people's minds and kind of hear how people are doing. I think it's really important to hear, I don't know, some of the lessons we've learned from the last 6 months, some of the challenges that people have faced, some of the challenges that we face across the industry. And I guess what people are trying to do to overcome some of those challenges. Always really keen to talk about how we can improve how we do things, how we can use data better to understand performance and understand how we can better serve our customers, really just to get a really good sense of what's on people's minds, how suppliers are feeling, what ideas and questions and suggestions they have. Quite a wide variety of things I'm hoping to take away, and I'm sure it won't disappoint.
Yeah, sure, hopefully. And I know you've been quite, I mean, it's quite early in the week, you're sort of quite buoyant about the way that we've been able to cope with the past 6 months. And a lot of the things that we were originally looking at are still relevant, but they've slightly changed. So you have been quite buoyant. Is there any particular reason why you're feeling that you've achieved quite a lot in these sort of really, really challenging 6 months?
Yeah, well, I think we've worked, we've worked really closely internally with our field team, with our network contractors, with my supply chain team, and really just tried to all support each other, really, and support our customers, right? We've really tried to make sure that we've prioritised well. We've kept people up to date on what's happening, and you know, there, of course, there's been tense times for everyone where we've been. Chasing around after materials and trying to figure out what's going on in the market. But ultimately, I think at times like this where people really pull together, and I think we've really felt that And I think that's what made it, although it's been massively challenging, actually, you know, when you look back on the time, you know, actually, you know, you realise how good a job everybody did.
Yeah, that's certainly true enough from a lot of our sponsors and talking to them, they agree. Tom, I guess from the other side, you would have, I think, months ago prepared to talk about data and analytics in a certain way. What have the last 6 months done to, is it going to be roughly the same stuff you're going to talk about, or has happenings and some of the achievements of the last 6 months sort of changed your reflections a little bit?
Yeah, I think it has changed a bit. I mean, I guess the essence of it is the same, because it's, you know, fundamentally, what is data? What's the best ways of collecting it? How do you use it? How do you make it productive? How do you do real useful things with it? I think the last 6 months have thrown that into a bit of sharp relief in terms of how quickly, you know, we've needed to adapt and do things very fast to react to an ever-changing situation. So I think there's a lot to go over and talk about from that point of view. And I think it'll also be interesting to see what people's thoughts are going into the next 6 months, because the COVID situation carries on, and talking just now, news today around further localized sort of lockdowns happening and so on. And you know, is that going to be the case for the next few months? And then there's some other interesting variables coming in as well. Dare I be the first person to say it? There's Brexit potentially looming at the end of the year. Mm. And it's going to be winter as well. And winter does stuff to us, right? So we might all think we can predict or analyze one of those things by themselves. But what happens when you get all three of them together? That's kind of interesting from a forecasting and an information point of view. So yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see what people make of that and what people's viewpoints on it are.
Yeah, I think so. Sandy, turn on to you from both. Well, let's start from the consumer front here. When we were first preparing for the conference, a lot of the motivation was discussions with Steve Gilder and a few of the other guys. We were talking about the difficulty in getting trades, given the high amount of investment in infrastructure, UK, and the availability of trades. That's still probably there. But since then, we've gone through a complete turn down and work for the contractors, at least for a period of time. Additional costs to suppliers and the equipment that they have to do to safely go on site. A few cash flow concerns from time to time, yeah. So where do the contractors stand now? Because financially, it's still going to be tough for them. We're getting to the end of furlough. We've still got deferred taxation to pay. We may have taken out a COVID loan. And business isn't running through quite as smoothly as normal. There has been a good return, but not like around. So where, from your view, contractors, where are they now?
Well, I hate to be a pessimist in life because I'm quite the opposite. But I suspect that in the contractor sector, the worst is yet to come. Tom has mentioned the B word, the Brexit word. That will impact. I wrote a paper in 2016 about it, and I think that the impact of Brexit will bite. I think the next 6 months will be as challenging as the last 6 months. That having been said, when you and I first worked together at Property Solutions back in the early noughties, which was probably one of the first, not the first, network. I think what has happened over the last 6 months during the pandemic is really huge evidence of the maturity of the supply chain and the maturity of the sector to be able to cope with it. I think the sector has coped really well, both in terms of insurers and supply chain. I think that the response has been magnificent, to be honest. Yes, there have been challenges throughout. I think there are more challenges to come. And whilst I think the next 6 months will be tough, particularly for contractors, I think what we will see is an evolution of the relationships, the principles. And by the time we get through the middle of next year, hopefully we'll be in a much better place.
Love that. We have the great mix of asking Laura about why she's so buoyant, and Sandy comes straight into stereotype pessimism. I can say that. I'm allowed to say that because I'm abusing myself in the same way. Is there, so Laura, what kind of information, you know, without giving away much of what you're going to say, but what sort of information do you think would really help us manage claims better, manage your suppliers better, and help us all make the right margins out of this work? Because that's part of the big challenge, isn't it? How do we not hold things down falsely so people find loopholes elsewhere? How do we all work straightforward and honestly, and each of us make the margin that we require to make to give a good service?
Yeah, that kind of feels a little bit like the million-dollar question, doesn't it? I feel like we talk about a lot about that question, and I'm not entirely sure on what the right answer is. So I genuinely think what's needed, and this probably does sound incredibly optimistic, but how do we kind of all build that trust in each other to have those really honest conversations about what we need? Because I know we've chatted in the past, Alan, and I think people feel like insurers just ask them for all of this data just for the sake of it, or because we always have. And I think we ask for lots of data because we're probably not entirely sure always what exactly it is that we need. So you kind of go, well, we'll just have everything in the absence of something more specific. But actually we need people to help us almost help tell us where to look. And actually let's really agree some really clear metrics and measures that really help us understand performance, help us understand that our customer demands are being met, but also that help our contractors run profitable businesses, because that's in all of our interests. So we've got to really start having the right conversations, I think, at probably quite a granular level initially, which might feel painful, in order to try and get us to the point where we can have really meaningful conversations about how people are looking after our customers and also how we're looking after our suppliers.
I think that's very key in getting the information right. So Tom, you do a lot, look into analytics a lot, and you collect a lot of information. Mm. The problem, when it goes back to the original management information, there are two things here. There's getting information and there's discovering, well, three things. There's getting information, then there's discovering the right information, and then there's doing the right thing with the right information. So I think when you were on before, Tom, I think we had Mike Hall on before, to say you don't react to the information in terms of its immediate action. You get the data out, you decide what you want, you take a look at it, and then you lift the lid and look underneath it before making a decision. So how easy is it from getting the data, which we do in the systems, and to getting it right down to meaningful operational data? How difficult is that going to be? And is that something you can help us with?
Yeah, I don't think it's as difficult necessarily. I mean, there are always going to be technological limitations to some degree or another, maybe, but most of those are fairly easily overcome. I think it's, as Laura was saying, it's about understanding what's important and, what are your goals? What are your objectives? What is it you really want to know? And then sort of, working, if it's a relationship between client and supplier or wherever it might sit, being clear about what that objective is, what it is you need to understand, what you need to know, what sort of measures are actually useful and interesting and drive the right behaviours, which ones are potentially not that helpful. Everybody needs KPIs and sort of metrics and so on to work to. Sorry, that's my cat joining in. There will be occasions in which, they can sort of drive the wrong things in the wrong direction potentially. So sometimes it's about taking a step back and really understanding what's important. Having the right system to capture the things at the right time is obviously really helpful, and making that system adaptable and responsive to whatever's going on at the moment, last 6 months case in point. But I think once you have the groundwork there, that gives you a solid base in which to start thinking about what that information is really telling you. And it then starts to build the right culture around it. And that, management information and stats and so on are there to help start the telling of a story, but they won't always do it all by themselves. There's discussion, there's collaboration, and there's kind of common view of things to be held above that. So that's kind of where I come from with it.
Yeah, just to be saying, why Tom's talking so quietly. He is quite a quiet talker, and it's not just his cat. He actually has the baby monitor in front of him. This is one of the delights of working from home. You can be abandoned with all sorts of animals and children. The baby's currently sleeping, so if we don't hear from Tom at any point, it's just that he's had to run out and deal with it.
He's fine just now.
Over to something not quite as quiet up in Ayrshire somewhere. Sandy. one of the biggest complaints that we've always had from a supplier angle, Laura touched on it perfectly, is we have to keep supplying information. I spoke to a supplier recently, accidentally at one point sent information to one of the clients, but had put in the wrong password to get it, so it wasn't done. The supplier never came back to them, which means they didn't, the insurer, which means they didn't actually look at it. So there was an issue there. How easy would it be for contractors to actually start, contractors and networks to start making a case to insurers and loss adjusters and others to say, look, here's the information that really is vital, and we can give you this information that really makes a difference to how we operate?
Well, I think that brings us back to the two key words that have been mentioned by Tom and by Laura. One is trust and one is culture. And I think those are huge, huge words. And I think the relationship between supply chain and principals, particularly with contractors and network, I think, has to bear that in mind. I think, probably touching on from what Tom said, the other aspect, I do like data. I don't, I'm not good at IT, but I do know what outcomes I want to have out of a data selection. But it's a bit like having two Scotsmen on a podcast, Alan. You know, you've got to translate that data, but you've got to sort of bear in mind the customer outcome when you're doing that, what you want, what the drivers are going to be. I would love to get to a position where you know, insurers and, you know, maybe adjusters, that capital T trust in contractors who are very close to the coal face and arguably closest to the customer during at least the repair phase, to maybe empower them a wee bit more. And if we got that, I think it would smooth the whole process a bit more. But that trust word is in there, and I think that there are probably within the sector, we've probably got about 50 shades of different things. I don't want to go off on another tangent, but I think there are 50 shades of trust, probably 50 shades of margins, and I think that the connection between factors and their principles can vary hugely. And that's where I see some major changes coming probably over the next 12 months. I think on the volume end of the market, there are contractors who are probably looking to move away from that. I think that part of the outcome of the pandemic has been to accelerate the attraction of cash settlement. And I get that. And back when I was at HBOS in 2007, I was a huge advocate of it and introduced the IVP model there. So there is certainly a place for it. But I do see that the claims profile and the involvement of contractors and networks moving slightly along that, to the slightly higher level as we go forward. But I would like to see more trust, but there are some that I can see already starting to do it, and some that are less likely to do it at the moment.
Yeah, I think there has been a move, but just as a point of interest, for anybody who doesn't understand when he's talking about 50 shades, what he's coming from, I haven't got a clue either, but you can probably Google it. And we haven't got a special license to go much further with that. Laura, one of the great things that I think about ILC and what we try and do and what this industry does is, you know, we are both presenters and attendees from every aspect of the building claim. When I say every aspect, I mean everything. There are sometimes people would say too many aspects and too many types of people in it. When you worked in I think it was in legal and motor, did you have a gathering which quite put together people who were actually out at the front fixing, managing the fixing, surveying, being loss adjusters, looking after various forms of repair, right from specialist environmental ones that we did last week to subsidence, through going out and, you know, drying out houses, etc. Is there any other gatherings that quite go as far as that in terms of the breadth of people who are talking?
I think that's quite a varied spectrum, isn't it, Alan? And I think you'll probably remember from one of our first conversations, I think that almost kind of sums up probably the complexity of building claims more generally. The fact that we need, you know, there are so many different types of claims and different types of experts and different people needed in order to in order to support buildings claims. So no, I can't think of I can't think of anywhere else where you'd have such a broad spectrum, and I think that just goes to show you know, like I said, how complex some of this stuff is, and how important it is that we all work together on it.
Yeah, and I think it also allows us to really hear different points of view, because one of the other things we don't do is we don't always put the people right at the top of an organisation. We try and get a view from people who are actually physically doing the job upwards. So hopefully we get a wider bit of that. So in terms of that, when we're taking a look at what systems can do for us, is there anything you're going to touch on in this that might allow an easier flow of information from all these various aspects of a claim?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, the bits that I plan to be talking about are about the more kind of cultural aspects of things. So, you know, there are plenty of technical things I could bore people with endlessly, but it's more about interpretation and how to think about, you know, data comes as the result of a question. How do we ensure that we're asking the right questions at the right time? And are we asking too many or too few? And what happens when we receive a pack of data? Has it been sort of scoped in the right way? Do we need to dive into things? Do we need to zoom out of things sometimes? For me, it's about sort of, you know, I've been 4 years in insurance and then about 13 years in business travel prior to that, both heavily supply chain oriented industries, both industries driven very much by data. And so it's about sort of interpretation and design and how you can crank the best knowledge out of the systems that you have from the data that you've got, which it's sometimes more of an art form than a science, I think, from my point of view.
Sandy, just a quick one then from you. You touched on the trust words, as Laura started earlier on. So from what you would discuss in the panel session, what you were going to discuss about the trust word, right, when you were preparing back at the beginning of the year before all the chaos erupted, do you think there's a slightly different slant you've got on it, given some of the happenings and I think great communications that have taken place over the last 7 months?
In terms of a slant, possibly yes. I think that, but in a very positive way, an absolutely positive way. I think that, you know, Laura would be able to speak to how well supply chain has done for the customer during the pandemic. And, you know, I've seen fantastic examples of the increase in trust in the supply chain. And I think that has been, you know, the customer has been rewarded for that. So all that I've seen during the course of the pandemic in that regard has been extremely positive. I think where we're at now, though, is, you know, we have to create a better future going forward. We have to look to tomorrow. I think one of the, I'm a huge advocate of ILC, as you know. I think it gives a platform for engagement where people can go talk to one another and listen. Really, really important to listen. And from that, you know, we should be collectively planning how we can improve all of our services for the customer going forward. And I think that's always always the intent and usually the outcome of these conferences.
Well, thank you, first of all, to four of you. We're on 20-odd minutes now. Really looking forward to seeing, hearing and listening to you amongst others in a few weeks' time. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. Again, it's on the 1st of October at the Recoup Arena. Thanks to our sponsors again, GeoBear, Accommodation Connect, Clara B, Sedgwick, Belfast, Safeline, Weston. Really grateful to you. We're looking forward to talking about all the areas that we've touched on here. And connecting with people we haven't seen for a while. I personally think there's a bit of congratulations to be done in there, because I think some of the things that have been achieved over the last 6 months, and I think I alluded to this in last week's seminar, I don't think you could have imagined it. I think if somebody had sat down and said in January, by the way, by the time the summer ends, you'll have got everybody out of their offices in a matter of days, you'll have shifted people out of hotels because we're closing them down, you'll not be allowed into people's houses, you'll still have to field claims, the profile of the claims is going to change slightly, and we're all still surviving. I agree with you, Sandy. I think there's a testing time ahead. But let's not forget that insurers and people like Laura and insurers have led these initiatives. I know it's not just Laura and Brian, Aviva, it's others as well. And I think if we can hear from the enthusiasm from Laura in this one, we know that people are going to continue doing it. I think that would trust. So thank you, Tom, Laura and Sandy. That was fantastic. We really look forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to that ILC podcast. Thank you very, very much.